Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Amen. God bless the man of God. That was going to kill. We got to go ahead and get ourselves focused on this afternoon as we're going to get the man of God, Alan Carter, to open us up. We got a few more callers on the line, and I want to make sure that you guys are actually recognizing a number. If you want to call into the studio tonight to be a part of any of the discussions or hear some of the testimonies, or you want to give a testimony about some of the things that has happened in your life to help someone else come out of whatever condition they're in, you can call in the studio at 516-387-1220. Well, we're going to get the man of God, Alan Carter, to introduce himself. Well, he's already been introduced. We're going to have him open up with prayer since, you know, you always hear me and Elder Carey, so we're going to kind of sit back and we want the other people to kind of get some words because we always drilling y'all and telling y'all about the word of God and the power of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're going to give some of these other men of God a chance to speak about some of the things that's happening in life. As I said, those of you who really want to have something to say on the studio, if you're in the studio, just push that number one button on your phone and the narrator will see you and fire you up and bring you into the studio. Hello, Mr. Alan Carter. Are you in today, evangelist?
God bless you all. How you all out there doing in radio land and stuff? To God be the glory. Thank you, Pastor Ellis and co-pastor and Elder Carey Williams. Thank you all for blessing me to be among you all show. Amen.
Amen. Why don't you do me a favor? Me and Elder
yes,
Carey,
sir.
Now, why don't you go ahead and open us up with prayer? Let's get moving here. Let's hear the word of God has to say this according to the King, my man.
Amen. All right. Good evening, our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, and His Son, who created the heavens and the earth, Lord Jesus. As we come to you right now, Lord Jesus, on Pastor Ellis and Co-Pastor's radio show tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to word the mouth, Lord Jesus. Give us what to say, Lord Jesus. Let the testimonies, Lord Jesus, from our lips be edified to our hearts, Lord Jesus, to everyone on this prayer line. And Lord, we thank you right now for what you've done, what you're getting ready to do for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, you go and know all about it, Lord Jesus. You can go where no man can go. You can touch where no man can touch, Lord Jesus. You said in your word, when you close the door, no man can open it. When you open the door, no man can close it, Lord Jesus. Lord, you said, don't climb the mountain, but speak to it, Lord Jesus. And we're speaking to it right now. We call it down healing in the bodies, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, have your way in this situation right now, Lord Jesus. On this prayer line, Lord Jesus. Let, Lord Jesus, your word be edified to the hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, oh Lord Jesus, right now, we're calling down the strongholds right now, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, Psalms 124:1 says, if it wasn't for the Lord on our side, say what may Israel say. Lord, we thank you for being on our side right now, Lord, because without you, there would be no us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for how you woke us up this morning, closing our right mind, Lord, with the activity of our limbs started us on our way, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, touch everyone name by name and one by one on this prayer line, Lord Jesus. In the mighty, maxim name of Jesus of Nazareth, we thank you. In the mighty, maxim name of Jesus, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you bless. Lord Jesus, Pastor Ellis, Lord Jesus, give him strength, Lord Jesus. And Elder Carey, give him strength, Lord Jesus, right now, Lord. In the mighty, maxim name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for my radio show, Praying Hands Ministry. In the mighty, maxim name of Jesus of Nazareth, I am Evangelist Alan Carter, Lord Jesus, who thanking God for Pastor Ellis, Lord Jesus, narrating it for us, him and the co-pastor, Lord Jesus. Waymaker, yes. Burden Bearer, Lord, carrying the prophet, Sheriff, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you've been better to us than we've been to our own self, Lord Jesus. When we didn't see no way, Lord, the way has already been made for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you for going to Mount Calvary, laying your life down for us. Sharing your precious blood, Lord, that we may have a right to live, Lord Jesus. We thank you right now. In Jesus' holy name, thank God. Amen, amen, amen.
God bless you, man, and God, for opening us up with prayer. But let's get started here. We got so much time on the radio to go forth. Of course, we want to make sure we put it in the hands of Elder Carey Williams. And I wanted to ask Carey, as we talked about on last week, I know he was kind of off for here a little bit. He didn't get a chance to make it out here. Some other business he had to tend to. He's always a busy man of God doing his work down there where he is. But Carey, you know, we were talking about over in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I know you had very interesting stuff concerning that word, you know, and you was really... You brought some really strong points, even as we look at the testimony tools and waiting some of the testimony people that's going to be coming to the studio, going to be with us tonight. You know, you talked about how we shouldn't be able to downgrade people when we're actually given the word of God. And Corinthians kind of talks about the process, how man is really not really anything according to what, you know, if it ain't coming through the spirit, we just sound it. He says in Corinthians 13, he said, we speak with the tongue of man. And I'm angry, but we have not charity. And that's something I noticed you talked about on last week. We was talking about, well, you didn't make it last week, but the following week before that, that you talked a little bit about the process of how the love of God has really got to be shed abroad in our heart. And even if we speak the word of God, we got to have that persona. We got to have that love. Even though in terms of testimony we see people going through, we got to know how to promote that positive out there in the hope and the sake that they will catch whatever it is that we're actually revealing to them through the scripture. So, I mean, you're on your way, and we want to let you go ahead and come in. And we got some strong testimonies, some people waiting in the studio to give testimonies about. But we want you to elaborate some of the things you talked about a few weeks ago about, you know, the tongue of a man and how we need to control it as being the people, have the charity and love of God, even when we speak in reference to or about a certain situation that may be going on in our life or someone else's life. Man of God?
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, man. I thank God for you great men and women of God that are here tonight. You're absolutely right, Pastor. That was something that was in my heart because, you know, as we said, the word love, the concept, the idea, the feeling, emotion of love is quite arguably the most abused word in the English language. And this is the thing, you know, God has provided for us everything we need. And the only undisputed, as a matter of fact, the most powerful thing in the universe in existence is the spoken word of God.
Amen. I like
that. You know, if you don't believe me, go all the way back to the beginning. God spoke the word. And everything came to be. That's how powerful the spoken word of God is. But in this day and age that we're living in, we're still in the time frame or dispensation of grace. But we've got to understand that the love of God that has been entrusted to us has not only has to be spoken. But see, anything spoken in love has to be demonstrated as well. And there's a lot of times we fall short in that area alone. And when you're looking at this 13th chapter of love, Paul is actually laying all that out. Now, he's talking about all of these actions that we do and we have, and particularly in the confines of the church, in the body of Christ. But he said, without love, none of it means anything. You know, he said something that was so important to me that it stuck with me. He said that the gift and the calling of God are without repentance.
Amen.
Say that again. The gift and the calling of God are without repentance. That means that I don't care how eloquent I speak, I can get up and minister to 5,000 people, and then I can walk down out of that pulpit and myself be cast away and gone to hell, fall by the wayside, because the words that I'm speaking don't match up. It's not being motivated and generated and applied with the spirit of love. That's why his father said in verse 1, 13 and 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love or charity, the King James was the charity, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal.
Wow.
Too often today, especially with things that are going on in this world around us, too many of us, we speak the love. We speak a lot of empty words, but we don't put the application and the action behind it. You know, and Paul said when he came and he spoke, he came with power. He didn't speak with words or eloquent words of men, but he came in demonstration of the power of God. Because the only way to love is to do it. The only real love that can be demonstrated is carried out through the power of God. You know, and where I come from, the old folks and even my mother didn't have a sin. And it's simply this. They say you can make your mouth say anything. See, we got to understand that actions not only speak louder than words, but actions are what activate the word. When you speak the word of love, there has to be an action behind it that has to be generated and motivated and driven by the spirit of love, which is equal to the power of God. And so many of us around here today, we love to look the part. And don't get me wrong, none of us, I ain't speaking from no glass tower, none of us are perfect.
No, man of God, I mean,
none of us know it all. But those of us that have, yes, sir.
You're not speaking harshly when you say that, Elder Carey, because, I mean, it's like our good friend Pastor Pearson over at Mount Olive Church over here, which is out of Saginaw, Michigan, in such and graph the word that he spoke about what you just said. I mean, Romans does say, you know, all of us are fallen.
I was just getting ready to go to Romans anyway.
This is the thing about it also, man of God. He said the same thing in the book of Ephesians. You know, Ephesians said we once, didn't he say it? He didn't say some of us. He said we all once walked the course of the world. Now, my other somebody else, he said we all love to sin. Now, this may sound rational, minister, and I'm being a minister, Alan being an evangelist, and all the other ministers on the line. It may sound rational for us to say that we love sin, in which we did, because if we didn't, we wouldn't have been doing it.
When we were in it, we loved it. Tell the truth.
It's the truth, the whole truth, man. But God did transform me. But we must realize
that
we were doing those things we loved doing. And even, you know, he said it's still sometimes in the heart of the children disobedient. So we still got some things in us that have come closer to Christ. You know, hear me what I'm saying and what you're speaking. As we come closer to Christ, we become more sinless. We're never free from sin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're fighting the good fight because each and every day, as long as we're in the flesh, there's a fight to be dealt with. Nobody, none of us, one perfect one to walk the earth. And that's hard for a lot of people to swallow. I'm holding them down. It ain't really based on
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? You know. He said, even that situation, I never done. Well, you know, it's hard for me to say that. Because as long as I'm still in his body, the Apostle Paul spoke the word. I think when he said in Timothy, he said, I'm still fighting the good fight of faith. Though I even go into war, and as we go into war and understand the word of God, we all, like an army or a brigade or a legion, we're going to face casualties. there's going
That's
to be
right.
hurt. And but mercy
right.
and grace, oh, man, the guy, you in this thing? I mean, what you're talking about the process, the charity, and I heard Evangelist Carter say the other day, charity and love supersedes all gifts.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It does.
It goes right back up to them top two commandments, right?
Amen. Amen.
Greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and body. And the second commandment is like unto it. Love thy neighbor, thy brother, as thyself.
Amen.
And, you know, especially, like I said, with everything that's going on these days, man, we cannot afford to be so heavenly bound that we know earthly good.
Yeah,
you got to understand that our life has become a work of love. God has given us the vehicle of love
to minister
to everyone that surrounds us.
Amen.
And the Bible says that those of us, particularly those of us in the household of our faith, we ought to be the first partakers of love. God loved us. For God so loved the world that he forgave his only begotten Son. But now our charge is to do nothing but love. Paul said to owe no man but to love him.
That's right.
And love takes on so many, love takes on so much and so many different things. That's why he just gives qualifications.
It covers a multitude, doesn't it? It covers.
That's right. Love covers a multitude of sins.
Think about the word, the echelon of supremacy, infinity. Love is for everlasting.
Exactly.
It's inexhaustible. It's continually moving in a direction that you never cease from whatever it may be. Cargo, I think Romans, Revelations, talks a great story. It says something real strong in Revelations 18 and 12. It talks about the cargo of gold and silver and the precious stones.
Yeah.
And
precious
and
things,
The silk and the scarlet. He talking about how love, the constant, this rule. He talking about all these different variables of different material that's on earth. But he said, but love, man of God. You know what I'm saying? There's no over love. You know, it's nothing that can overtake love. And it goes back to what Evangelist Carter said before. Love is a supremacy or the authority over every gift. How can either one of how can my gift work? I mean, you think about it. Apostle, you talk about the prophet, you talk about the evangelist, you talk about the pastor, teacher. Those gifts cannot proceed. What is it? Is it 1 Corinthians 12? You know, by the manifestation of the Spirit, I think it's 12 and 7, right? By the manifestation of the Spirit, he gave each one.
12 and somewhere in that 12 and 6, 7,
Amen.
Or 8.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, seven, yeah, manifestation. But he talks about investing. All those gifts can only come together through the Spirit. You can't enhance and have the Holy Spirit in you if you don't have love in your life. That's why Paul spoke what you just said. Though I speak with the tongue, I can sound good in all types of oratorical performance. Though I speak with the tongue of a man, of an angel, but I have not charity, I become like a sounding or a tingling cymbal. You're just talking loud and ain't saying nothing. And then really, when you think about the day, not focusing on anybody perfectly, because the Holy Spirit and the performance of the Holy Spirit is really not in the house as it should be. You understand? One of the miracles said to follow those. How many times do we go to church and see on the spot? I can remember the days of Sham, about the Captain Coleman and William Seymour. On the spot, supernatural miracles, man. Legs, eyeballs, ears on the spot. And people
they
laughed at us.
They walked supernaturally, man. They did.
Oh,
they really did.
Oh, yeah. Let me get something in here right quick, Elder Carey. For those of you who are coming into the show, and I know we got a heavy load here today that's on the line, but those of you who are calling the show, 516-387-1220. Now, if you push the number 1 on your phone, it will allow you to come into the studio. You're listening here with Elder Carey Williams, along with Evangelist Alan Carter, who's going to have on here next in a minute speaking. And you're allowed to come in and question or speak on anything of what you see. But we want to stay on the basis of what we're speaking about on today. We want to make sure we stay right there. And we got 9894. We got 989-443. We're going to hold you there for a minute. We're going to get this evangelist in. Just hold right there, 443. We want to get this evangelist in, Alan Carter. And we'll let him go ahead and speak on his behalf of what we was always speaking about. Alan Carter, God bless you, man of God.
God bless you. Thank you.
I was just sitting up there. I was enjoying everything I hear you and Elder Carrier speaking on. But, you know, I hear people always say that they love their brother. They tell the Lord they love him, who they never seen. But they never, you never hear them tell their brother that they love him or their sister.
Wow.
And you see, and the thing of it is, like I'm just listening to Elder Carrier, what he said, his mother and them say, you can make your mouth say anything. But I always say, too, what do you believe in your heart? You see, we could tell that little red thing in our mouth to say whatever we want to say, but what do we believe in our heart? And that's the thing. You see, the key thing, because, like I said, we tell the Lord we love him. Lord, we love you, but you whom you never seen. But then you see your brothers and sisters every day, but you don't tell them you love them.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? So what is that saying in James? What a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Very much so. Amen.
You see,
amen.
So we can be double-minded.
Amen.
You amen.
See, so I just thank God for everything that I'm listening to. You live, you learn, you learn, you live. And I'm learning and I'm living. To God be the glory. I'm listening. And
hold right there, evangelist. We got a call coming in for Elder Carrie Williams from 989-443. We want to light them up and get them in the studio and want to hear what they have to say. You're on the air with Harvest Light Church, Elder Carrie Williams and Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest Light. Go ahead, 4-4-3. I'm sorry. Can't get up. Prefix of you're in the studio, 99-443. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, man of God. Are you in, woman of God, man of God? 989-443, you're lit up. You're in the studio. If you have something to go ahead and present to what you have to say, what you've been hearing, go ahead. Get your mic up close to your mouth real good and go ahead and speak out. We can all hear you.
This is Lamar Traylor, and I just thank God for the day and for the healing that he's doing in the world. I woke up this morning and he had clothed me in my right mind and gave me a portion of my health and strength. And I just thank him for it. And I know that God is a healer and that he can do all things but fail. And I just pray right now that he just heal everyone all over the land and that he heal this cancer that I have. And I know that he can do it, and I know that he will. And I know that you can't rush him, and he do things on his own time, because our time is way different than his time. God be the glory to him. And I know that he will bring forth deliverance. Amen. And I just thank him, you know, that he is so good and so mighty that he gave his only begotten son that we may have a chance at a tree of life. And I thank him for that. And it's just so much that God have done in my life. That if I just had 1,000 tongues, I still wouldn't be able to say all that he had done. He took me and brought me from a mighty long way. I used to be alcoholic, and I got on my knees one night. I prayed. I said, Lord, if you just take it away from me, I'd never go back. Woke up that morning, and it was gone. I said, God, you are so good and mighty. Glory be to God. That I asked him to take the cigarettes away, and the next morning it was gone. And that's been 26 years. It's been 26
praise
years.
The Lord.
And I haven't even looked backwards. I just keep my eyes on the prize, because I know that God is a deliverer. He's a healer. He's almighty. Amen.
You said 26 years. From the time you asked the Lord, you said it's been 26 years? Did I hear that right?
It's been 26 years.
Oh, my God. One time. You did it right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Praise the Lord.
I
know that same testimony.
Oh my God. Let me encourage some more people to get on the line. If that was a testimony, all that Kerry Williams spoke, really, see, what the enemy does, he want to hold you bondage in your mouth.
Amen.
You can testify, like this man of God just called in, when he said one time, you know, I just hear the old people say, and really, we're talking about, we ain't no spring chickens, but I'm hearing the old people say that I got a telephone in my bosom. Do y'all hear what this man of God just said? He said he had a with a saving God that once he made one call, just one call, everything that he asked God for was taken away from him. I'm talking about that's what testimony two is all about. If there's a testimony on the course of the time that we're speaking, the number is 516-387-1220. And if you feel you have something to say about what God done spectacular in your life that will encourage somebody else, all you have to do is take your little finger and touch that number one button. It'll light you up just like 99433 did. I mean, 443 did. And you will hear somebody, look, people need to be encouraged. You ain't got to be behind nobody's pulpit to encourage anybody.
Amen.
You know, people need encouragement. Now I'm going to pull this man of God out of here, and I'm going to tell him, now stay with us, sir. Don't go away. Now I'm going to light up 687. I believe this evangelist is coming back in, that 678 308. We're going to light him back up and have him to come into the studio once again, and we want to go. Go ahead. Is that you, evangelist?
Yes, sir. I just want to say truly, because I think that's my cousin who just testified.
That's a good testimony. But give us some
praise
testimony.
The Lord.
But I'm going to give you a testimony of mine.
Mm-hmm.
To God be the glory, 2 years ago, they found fluid up around my heart and lungs. I was having panic attacks. And my oxygen level went from 93, 96 to 82.
Yeah.
Then they had to do a heart cath on me. But I'll say this. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
To God for healing me. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I thank God that he spared my life. Because without God, there wouldn't be no Alan Carter. When every 2 or 3 days I was going back and forth to the emergency for a month, didn't know what was wrong with me. But God stretched his hand down unto me, saw that I may have a right to live. You see, when you're sitting up, you can't lay down in the bed next to your loved one because your ankles and your feet swelling up because you got so much fluid up on your heart and lungs. When I was in the hospital, they sent me from one hospital to another when they had two IVs in my arms. Then when I had to call 911, they had to come get me out the car and take me to the hospital. You see, sometimes we get so complacent. Sometimes we forget about God. You see, but when do we call on God when we're in trouble? You don't think about it. We don't think enough to serve him now. But only when things go wrong, then that's when we call on him.
That's right. Whenever we something wrong, that's when we want to call on him.
You see? So I thank God, Jesus, that he spared my life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Y'all don't understand. If you've never walked a mile in my shoes, then you don't understand what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
You see, because I'm going to tell you something. By his grace and mercy, that I am here. You see, I can say truly, I am truly saved. That's why I enjoy what he has for me to do when I go out. He said, operating the gifts that I bless you with, pray and lay hands upon them. You see, you got to love and like what you're doing for the Lord. Or should I say, you got to love what you're doing for the Lord when he asks you to do something. Because if you don't do it, then he could just be good to bless you, but then you turn around and don't do it, you lose your blessing.
Oh, my God.
You see what I'm saying? When we're yet at our worst, God is yet working his best.
Mm-hmm.
You see, with his loving smile, we're only one smile away from what? Heaven. But one day I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get off. If it ain't in the word, you kick it to the curb. You can't add and you can't subtract.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you,
God,
tell us. Tell the curb.
Amen, amen, amen.
What is the word?
Evangelist Carter said a mouthful then, man. He said sometimes we get so complacent and we put aside our responsibility and we move God to the back burner and then we end up losing our anointing because we get so caught up in ourselves. That's why this word we're talking about tonight, that whole chapter, look, Paul set it up. If you ever read the book of Romans, in particular the 12th chapter, Paul lays out the formula and tells us plainly how to conduct ourselves. Those first 11 chapters in Romans, actually he gave us the doctrine. He gave us the base for how we go forward in love. And then he starts out in the 12th chapter. It's often quoted scripture, but it's so powerful and deep because it's actually an instruction for what we should do. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, that you present your bodies, yourselves, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Now, get this. Which is your reasonable service? What's your reasonable service? See, God don't owe you nothing. He's already given us grace to everything to him I owe.
Come on now.
And in the course of owing God, he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It starts with a renewed heart, and then it continues on to a transformed mind. Once your mind is transformed, you know, everything else will follow. As a matter of fact, there's a saying in the world, I'm going to say it nice way, because there's another way, and I know you all heard it before, but it's simply this, free your mind and your behind will follow.
Come on, man.
That's what this is telling us. And he goes on, and I love the third verse, because he says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not this is where we fall short at, not to think more highly of not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly with a clear mindset, a clear godly mindset, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. Now, Paul let us know that we are, as we go forward in this thing, we're supposed to grow from faith to faith. Jesus said himself, he said, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing.
Right.
He said, but this ought not be so. Because the same tap can't put out both bitter or sweet water. You got to understand that there's only one way, one road to travel. The Bible says narrows that road. We can't do nothing out of our own will. And when it comes to love, that's why I say it's so abused. Because at the end of the day, you ain't got to look past nothing else. You find the scripture that tells you three words. God is love.
Amen.
Now, if you're looking at anything inside of yourself, you're walking in an absence of love.
That's right. Yeah.
And the Bible says that those of us that know love and walk and serving God, walk in God's spirit, that we are children of that love. Now, you think about that. If I'm a child of love, there's certain things. There's just some things I'm not going to say. There's some things I'm not going to do. There's certain ways I'm not going to treat people. There's certain ways I'm not going to think. Because I need the love of God. I don't know about anybody else. But the love of God is the reason why I'm here. Just like Evangelist just said, were it not for God's love, I wouldn't be here.
Amen. Oh, God.
I didn't go back to 94 when I went to work and fell out and ended up in the hospital in Lapeer. And the doctor told me, you shouldn't even be alive. You should at least be in a coma. I had a blood sugar of almost over 1,000.
Oh,
I had pneumonia. I had a sinus infection. That man wouldn't even let me leave that hospital. 100 miles away from my home, unless I come straight back to Saginaw and go to the hospital here, which I did. Now, this, y'all want to hear a testimony again, too. Evangelist Carter, I feel you. Trust me.
when I left that hospital and I come to Saginaw, I went straight to the hospital here. This was during the last 2 weeks leading up to Christmas. I had a brand new 2-week-old daughter at home, and I'm in the hospital. Before that week, my wife ended up in another hospital across town. And when I laid in that hospital bed, I called out to God. And God, I made a covenant with God. I've done this twice in my life. This was the first time. I said, God, you raised me up out of this bed. I'm coming to you in the spirit of the prayer of Peter, you know, that, listen, you know, what was it, 1 Peter 2 and 3? 2 and 3, I'm sorry, I think it is, says that if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them lay hands on him and anoint him and pray the prayer of faith. And if he has committed any sins, God will raise him up. To keep it short, 2 weeks later, New Year's Eve, that followed that New Year's Eve, I got out of the hospital that day. I went to church. And I preached my first message, and I've been running for God ever since because I understood. See, a lot of times we get so complacent, we don't understand, we don't know, we don't realize the need to be appreciative, not only of what God has done for us, but appreciative of the fact that God has given us the opportunity, a vessel, to represent Him to other people, to show them how to appreciate God enough to love other people.
You know,
the foundation has to be there. And then he goes on and he tells us how to serve with spiritual gifts and things like that. But what I want to get to is verse 9. He gives us another formula. Now, this is all in love. How to behave like a Christian. See, this day and age, the devil got the world so twisted that things that used to be considered abominable are looked upon as normal now. Please understand and remember, though, we are in the world but not of the world. We are children of love, so we have no choice but to walk in love. Romans 12 and 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Verse 10 follows it up, says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. How many of y'all have went into somebody's church and you get in there and the pastor, the quote man of God, is one of those cats that he's so competitive and he's so egotistical that he's afraid to let anybody do anything, have words, show love, because he's afraid that they're going to steal his shine. No competition. Like the man said in the movie, God's ministry, God's word, God's ministry ain't no hustle.
No, it's not.
It's free to everybody. But we have to have the right foundation. We have to walk in the bounds of love in order to really clearly understand and see what that means.
That's why those words
in 1 Corinthians 13 are so important.
Let's pull the reins here a minute. We only got so much time. We got callers hitting the line here. We want these callers to be a part of what's going on in this discussion. No.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Carter, we heard a very powerful word, but we got a caller coming in a 213 area code. And it's gonna be a 798 number. Hang right there for a minute. 231-798. We're gonna get with you in a minute as Elder Carey begins to speak that word, and the word of God is really speaking seriously right here tonight because he says something strong in John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto him, he said, ye a little while is a little, he said, ye a little while is the light. You walk while you have light. Now that speaks volume. That speaks volume what Evangelist Carter said. And it speaks volume what Carey said. He told you right there, you don't know the time, place, or when. If there's a gift been given to you, according to Jeremiah 1:5, and it's been imputed in you, it's your duty. And as I heard Elder Carey say, undisputed duty to do the work of the gift of what he's put in you. Now, I want to light this man up here at area code 231-798. I want to push him in here a minute. And whoever, I mean, I'm a man of God. I'm going to push this person. I'm a man of God, woman of God. God bless who it is. But I'm going to pull them in here a minute. And I'm going to hear what they have to say. 231-798, you're on the air. We got callers coming in. and we want to hear what he has to say. First, it's 231 is area code, and the number is 798 on the prefix. Are you there? All right, let's move.
Yeah.
Let's keep moving. Let's look at the word of God as it goes back into coalition of what it was saying over here in the area of John 12 and 35. There's only so much time. Your life is really like a blur. And anytime God gives you a break to get a breather, to keep going, you better take off with it. Because I'm telling you, it's coming a time that you won't have the light anymore. And Elder Carey just spoke, Evangelist Carter just spoke. Lord put me on the side and gave me some Gatorade and let me get back in the game. He didn't take me out of the game. He let me get back in the race. Because he know the penalties I probably had against me can be forgiven. But there's some people that get out, they'll move, and there will be no coming back. And I'm telling you, man and woman, God, you're going to have to trust in the Lord all your heart. And then what he said, you got to lean not to your own. You don't belong to yourself. Your life is a vision for God. Let me get 989-443 back in here. I think they're still lit up in here. And maybe Alan and the same guy is still lit up in here. I don't know if they pulled the mute off, but I'm going to bring Evangelist Carter back in because he's lit up. And we had a number from 231. They pulled out, but we're going to hope they're going to get back in there. We want to encourage you to call back in 231-798. We might be a while, but we're going to get you. Okay, they just kicked in, and I'm going to pull them in here. It's going to be 231-798. You're on the air with Evangelist Alan Carter, Elder Carey Williams, and Charles Ellis at the Tuesday Testimony. Excuse me. It got a mix. Go ahead.
Yes. First, I'd like to just give honor to God.
Amen.
Who's the head of my life? To Pastor Charles Ellis, brother of mine, Evangelist Alan Carter, a brother of mine who I graduated with. And
Amen.
Brother Carey Williams, hallelujah,
brother,
also graduated with. Yes, Amen. This is the class of 1981. We on the line, y'all. And you know, Pastor Ellis, he came out in 80, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And so, you know, I'm just excited about what God is doing in my life because he can do more with it than I can. Hallelujah. And so at first I thought that I could do anything that I wanted to do. Yeah, you talk about a testimony. Well, let me just start when I was a baby. Let's start there. My mother said I picked up the furniture polish. And, you know, at that time in 63 or whatever, you know, they had that furniture polish that came in colors at that time. And so we had a red bottle of furniture polish. And my mother said I must have been about 7 months old. I don't know, somewhere up in there. And she said she was cleaning the house, and she left the room, and I crawled up to the table and saw that furniture polish. Hallelujah. You know, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. It had the little skeleton head on it with the two bones up under the neck. Come on, somebody. And under the two bones, it says poison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, poison. And so my mother said I drunk over half the bottle.
Oh
wow.
God.
I literally drunk over half the bottle. Now, this is poison we're speaking of. She said my little onesie was all red. And so she just did the best thing that she know how. Let me just address who my mother is. She's Sister Juanita Hallman of Saginaw, Michigan. And she plays the piano. She's a minister of music over at Bethesda Baptist Church, 2511 Wadsworth. And she also plays for another church. I don't remember the name of that one, but, you know, she spends time there, too. Hallelujah. Praise God. And she's 74 years old, and I just want to say that she's been on the battlefield 68 of the 74 years of her life, faithfully.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
That's
so
powerful.
Well, yes, hallelujah. And I'm a child. Hallelujah. Well, we had four brothers. I had three siblings, and I thank God that they're all still living. They're all healthy. You know, they have the sickle cell trait, but I have sickle cell anemia. Hallelujah. The whole full-blown sickle cell anemia. But now let me stress this. I said I have sickle cell anemia. But it doesn't have me.
Amen.
Huh? Come on, somebody.
Come on.
It doesn't have to be. The minute it gets me, then I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
I know
right.
That's real. And
all
so
right.
I just, the doctor told my mother that this kid won't live to get 18 years old. Come on, somebody. So that's what the
Come
doctor
on, bro.
Said. That's what the doctor said. I don't believe
but
the
God.
Doctor's report. I believe
but
the
God.
Lord's report.
Yeah.
I believe the report of the Lord. And so as I come up on that 15th, 16th, 17th year of my life, I didn't even think twice about one more year on this earth. I just looked forward to God and knew what he
Amen.
Said. Hallelujah. Because he has the final word anyway. He made the doctor. Yeah, he made
yeah,
that doctor
on.
Who spoke that. So,
come on.
Yeah, I don't pay that report no attention. Well, anyway, my mother grabbed that anointed oil. Somebody, come on. Olive oil. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
yes,
sir.
Anointed, she said. Yeah. And she said she took the whole bottle and just poured it down my throat. As she ran, we couldn't find Papa. My Papa was truly a rolling stone. And wherever he laid his hat truly was his home. And sure enough, when he died, all he ever left us was alone. My God, my God.
I hear you,
yeah, so now you got a woman with four boys. Yeah, four knucklehead boys at the time. Yeah, but we wasn't knucklehead for real because, see, we was born and raised up in church. Yeah, born and raised. I was drugged to church on Sunday. I was drugged to church on Monday. I was drugged to church on Tuesday. Drugged to church on Wednesday. I was drugged to church on Thursday. Come on, somebody. Drugged to church on Friday. Was drugged to church on Saturday. And then, lo and behold, here comes Sunday morning. They ain't have to drag me. I'm the first one up. Let's go. Yeah, let's get into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because, see, without him, we are nothing anyway. So I just want to give thanks to him first and foremost right now because truly God is good. And the doctor told my mother if I hadn't poured that olive oil down my throat when she did, that she'd be walking in there with a dead baby. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
But see, I know what my God will do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He can do anything but fail. Yeah. So, and, you know, as I got older, you know, I took a detour. You know, see, the devil, he'll set that thing up and make it pretty to you. You know, see, while we on the right and straight, narrow road, that devil got something over there on the left, that big old wide road, that he's going to bring it to you and it's going to look good to you. Come on now. Yeah, I ain't been saved all my life. Come on now. And so I stepped out there. I said, well, let me see what they're doing over here. It looked like they're having fun. Yeah. Well, it looked like they was. Well, I stepped in it. And now I have a crack addiction. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I have a crack addiction.
Yeah.
So I stole everything in the house that wasn't bolted down that I knew I could get me some crack for. And my family is the ones who I hurt the most. Yeah, little one, Nita Harmon. Yeah, I hurt her the most. Stevie Harmon, my brother. Yeah, I hurt him too the most. Yeah, Jackie Harmon, track star, United States Marine Corps. Hurt him too. Yeah, and old good old Ed, my oldest brother, Eddie. Yeah, he didn't have much, but whatever he had, I took that too. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Well, I was feeding that fueled addiction. Yeah, I got curious about it. Well, I got curious about crack, you know. I'm wondering why is everybody spending their money on this little old piece of white rock.
Amen.
That's what I want. What's in that? Well, I had already tested the weed, that marijuana, that THC, and I kind of liked it. Yeah, I kind of like. See, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. Yeah. Because, see, God know what I did anyway. Huh?
Amen.
Yeah, so I don't hide behind that rock any longer. Come from behind that rock. See, we got so many, you know, they think they're getting by, they're doing things, and they want to stand behind a rock and, like, nobody don't see me. Well, just say men don't see you.
That's right.
Yeah, say women don't see you. But that's fine. But then again, I like to address it like Pastor Charles Ellis told me. You would have to be psychologically insane to think that God don't see you. Yeah, that's how Pastor Ellis broke it down to me. You would have to be psychologically insane to think that God, to think that you can hide from God. He made you. Mm-hmm. He's your creator. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And so, I bring that thing to the forefront. I said, listen here, God, you know, I'm going through some things, you know, but I want you to cover me. Yeah, I want you to cover me while I'm out here in the wilderness, this madness, this crack cocaine addiction, what I can't seem to let go. Hallelujah. Well, at one point in time, I called myself, I'm going to sell some drugs. It ain't nothing to it. I see Big Boy across the street, them Miles brothers who done got their lives together through Christ Jesus, Johnny Miles, Bobby Miles, Godfrey Miles. Yeah, I grew up right across the street from them. Yeah, people used to talk about him. Yeah, look at them. He big. Come on now, that ain't your job to talk. Hey, who is you to judge and talk about? Yeah, you're going to be judged one day. Just know that. Yeah, and so I watched them. I said, look at them boys getting money. My God, my God. Yeah, I'm going to try that one day. I'm going to save some of my check. I ain't going to spend it all on crack. And I'm going to buy me some so I can sell it. Well, I did. And it was working out for a minute, selling it. Now I'm still getting high now. Come on. And I'm selling it, but I'm still getting high now. Come on. But now, well, I come to this point. I ain't got re-up there no more. Yeah, you're going to start to like one more than the other.
That's right.
And that's what God says. God says you cannot serve two mammons. Yeah, that's two masters. So what is a mammon? What is a master? Money, a car, a house, or a boat. Anything that you could set before Christ Jesus. Anything you put before God. Yeah, that's what it is. And so I kind of had a struggle with that because I put a lot of things before him.
Amen.
And I know better. That's the killing part. I knew better. But see, then I also know this. I knew God loved me anyway. Yeah.
Amen.
Despite what I was doing, I still know God loved me. Come on now. And so listen. Oh, my goodness. I move up here. My brother Jackson, I'm going to give you a new outlook on life. See, because the boys was knocking on mama door. And daddy had passed on, bless his heart. And I had nothing but brothers. Steve was in college. And my mama say, son, listen. There was a knock on the door every 10 minutes. Where T at? Well, they called me T, nickname Street. Now, don't call me T no more. My name Tyler. Hallelujah. My mom didn't name me T. Yeah, that was T. That's Street T. That's that street boy. Yeah, who's being delivered from that as we speak. Hallelujah. And so, yeah, hey, knocking on. Yeah, tell him I want my money he owed me. I'm killing him. When I see him, I'm beating him down. Yeah, when I see you can't come out the house no more, boy. Yeah, mama, Tyler, baby, look, what is you doing? I can't even get sleep at night. You know I got to go to church in the morning. Mama, I'm sorry. Mama, I'm sorry. They ain't going to knock on the door no more. I'm going to let you get some sleep. Can you let me get $20 till I get my check? Tyler, I just gave you $20. I just gave you $20. I know, mama, but I'm going to pay you back. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Well, see, I wasn't in the streets robbing, you know, because I'm a little bitty fella, 165 pounds, you know. It ain't going to take listen, huh? Yeah, so
come on, man.
I'm going to get it from mama, and I'm going to get it from brother. We ain't going to have to pay no consequences.
All right.
Yeah, but even that thing turned around because, see, Brother Steve got tired of me taking his money, jewelry, cologne, clothes, whatever, selling it. And he got tired of me stealing my mama money she had to put in church. Now, see, listen to this. This here hurt me to my heart right today. And I know I've asked for forgiveness, and that's all God requires of me to do.
That's right.
And I did it. And then I came to mama because, see, I hurt mama. Yeah, mama had $160 in her purse. She had $160 in her purse one Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I come in. Yeah, 12:30, 1 o'clock that morning. I ease her purse on off the handle of the door. And then I walk backwards as I'm watching her so she don't move and wake up. Then I go to the kitchen. I count it. It's 160. I don't get all 160 at one time. I take 20 at a time, hoping I could stop that she would have her tithes to be able to put in church.
My Lord.
Well, listen, I couldn't stop. Yeah, that drug. Listen, Satan, like I said, he'll make it look good to you.
Yeah,
all you got to do is, but see, he has no power over me anymore because I rebuke that thing. Hallelujah.
There you go.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Satan, get beneath my feet so I can stomp on your head from now on. You caused me to do great harm and danger to my family. Yeah.
That time,
and so I went through that whole 160, Pastor Ellis. And then there was no more. So now I got to stay out all night until Mama leave going to church.
Because
I don't want to face Mama when she get up. I don't want to face her when she get up. Because she gonna already know what happened. And so I stayed over, you know, little dope boy's house, and I called myself coming home. Well, my brother Steve in there. Uh-oh. My brother Steve in there. He knew I'd been out all night on the bench. He said, boy, you look a mess. You need to go take a good look in the mirror, he told me. My God, my God. I went and looked in the mirror. I ain't seen nothing. I saw me. What? What's wrong with me? Because when you're on that drug, nothing else matters.
Yeah,
I still look good. That's what I was saying. But I was around here looking like Pookie from New Jack City and didn't even know it. My God, my God. So, yeah, listen. I moved here to Muskegon, and my brother Jackie said, I'm going to give you a new outlook on life. Well, Jack, you can say that, but you can only let me move in with you because, see, it's the Lord's job to give me a new outlook on life. Hallelujah. Yeah, so I'm not going to let you get that credit or that glory because all glory belongs to the Lord anyway. And his word says he will share his glory with no man. Huh? Come on, somebody.
Come on.
He won't share it. He won't do it. So I told my brother, I appreciate it that you let me come stay with you till I get myself together and get off this drug. And so what happened was I ended up staying like 6 months with him, and then I met the dope man. Come on, somebody. I ain't always been saved.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let me say something.
You know, I start. Yes. Yeah. Even with that, you know, I heard them. Now I heard Jack and his family. Yeah. So.
Hold on a second. We see the things that happen.
Yes.
Justifying giving stuff all night about what God has done for you, and that's what we need to hear. But this show is 30 more minutes. Okay, and I'm telling you, what you're telling us is what we need to hear. We need to hear that. We got 12 people online. They got the same kind of testimony. Don't you get off the line because we're gonna come back to you. I'm gonna pull somebody for this man. Kerry Williams, because he's on the line.
Hallelujah.
Just stay right there.
Hallelujah.
You want to bring in
glory
Erico 832. Erico 832. That's 82682. We want to bring them into the studio, and we're going to hear what they have to say concerning this, what's going on in their life, because this is Testimony Tuesday, but we want to get everybody in here to try to hear what somebody else can gain in their life by what we hear other people go through, because this is good, and this is very good. 832-368, you're actually on the line with Elder Kerry Williams, Evangelist Allen Carter, and Pastor Charles Ellis here on Testimony Tuesday. Go ahead, 832.
Hello?
All right, yeah, you up in here.
I just had to get on. I had to get on because my phone going dead, you know, and man, I got a little something to say because I done been through a lot in this last month and this week. First, I want to say I've been in the hospital because I had an abscess on my lung, on my lower right lobe of my lung. How it got there, I don't know. How do you get an abscess on your lung? I thought you get abscess on your teeth But how did I get it on my lung? I don't know. But, you know, I guess God wanted to take me through that. And when I say I went to the emergency room, they did an X-ray on my chest. When they did an X-ray on my chest, they told me, "Well, Mr. Stretty, sir, you're not going home. We got to keep you." Not knowing that my stay in the hospital was going to be a month and a week long. Let alone, I just got out the hospital Friday. So I'm in the hospital. I mean, I'm in the emergency room at first. No, they told me they wasn't going home, so they started hooking me up to IVs. While I'm in there on the IVs, they telling me they waiting for a bed at the big hospital in the medical center because I'm in Houston, Texas. So when the ambulance come, they take me to the big hospital. The big man, when I tell you, I went through so much. When I went through so much needles and pick lines and Lord. So at first I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks. They couldn't find out. They still didn't know what it was. They still couldn't tell me what it was. At first they were saying it was tuberculosis. I'm telling them no, it's not tuberculosis. But you know, they gotta do their thing to make sure for themselves. So like a couple of days later they come back, "Well, it's not tuberculosis." Then I think they were saying it was pneumonia. But they couldn't tell me. So they came back like a couple of days later like, "Man, we're going to have to take you to surgery." So they took me to surgery. They cut an incision through my back to go through my ribs to cut the lower part of my lung off. Which that's the painful surgery. That is a real painful surgery. So I went through that. And the first surgery they did. So when I got out of surgery, I had like four hoses coming out of my side, coming out of my chest.
Drainage tubes,
and I had two other tubes hooked to a box, and it, I guess when I breathe or when I go use the restroom, it's not supposed to bubble up, but at this time this one was bubbling up, so they was looking at it. It was like a week went by, and they was looking at it like, "Well, something's still wrong, because it's not supposed to be bubbling like this." And y'all got to excuse me, because now that they done cut a little bit of my lung off, it's like my breath is like short a little bit, but it's still on point. So the doctor come and tell me I got to go through another surgery because they didn't seal it all the way up. My lung was leaking, and it wasn't blowing up like it was supposed to. But this whole time that I'm in this hospital, I'm calling on Jesus because I didn't know how to feel. I'm 33. I'm healthy. I've never been through a surgery, never had to have a surgery in my life. Mm-hmm. So instead of me asking why I'm in this position, I was asking Jesus to help me. I did not one time. I did not one time say why? No, help me, Jesus. Help me. I don't know. Just help me. I don't want this to be over. I don't want it to be over for me.
Amen.
When I say Jesus was there with me, he was there with me. I prayed to him about the pain. It's a lot of stuff I didn't even feel because I asked Jesus to not let me feel it.
My God.
To not let me feel it. And it's a lot of stuff they did to me that I didn't feel.
Amen.
So to make a long story short, he put me around doctors and nurses, man, I'm talking about the best people I probably could have been around. These people looked out for me. Nurses went and took their money and bought me food. Doctors, when I left the, when I left the hospital, doctors was calling me their miracle child. And it's and it's just it's crazy to me, but I know. You know, and I went to the doctor today. I had a doctor's appointment today at 1 o'clock. Those two drainage tubes I had in me, they not in me no more.
I got them
took out today. So all I'm left with now is the incisions on my back. I still got staples and stitches in my back. That's all I'm left with right now.
My God.
And, you know, God is good, man. And
amen.
And he's so healing. Yeah, but I had to go through two surgeries. The first surgery was good, but I really got cut open. When I say I got cut open, they cut me open on the second surgery. And I'm talking about they cut me open something good. See, the first surgery only had like a little incisions. But the second surgery is when they really cut me open. And I really didn't want to go through that second surgery. I really didn't. But the doctors told me, you have been through so much, and not one time have you gave us grief. Not one time was you mad about what we had to do, you know. And it's like, as much as all that stuff that was happening to me and I didn't want to go through, I went through it because I had to go through it. It was something I had to go through to get to this point where I am now. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect, but I know it's a lot of stuff I don't want to do no more.
Yeah.
And I had to go through that to get me here. And I'm happy.
Amen.
I'm happy about it. I'm happy I went through it.
Amen. Amen. You're good, brother.
I'm happy I went through it.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
But I wanna also add this to it. I got on this line late. And as I was getting on this line, I was hearing some good conversation. And all I heard was John 35, but y'all was coming from everywhere with it. And I just really want to know where y'all was at so I can go in my Bible later on and read.
Go ahead, Elder Carey. Go ahead, because we got so many minutes left. Go ahead, Elder Carey. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I just want to tell this young man that, you know, you be encouraged. God has already completed your healing process. And what he's looking for to you now is to dig more into him and to seek more of him. God's got something for you to do. And that's why this line is so important. We talk about testimonies. You know, John P. Key wrote a song that's a favorite of mine. And it simply says this. It asks questions. It starts out, what you hiding for? It says, to tell your testimony. He said, because the thing that you want to hide from me is the thing that he wants to use. And I always keep that. We're talking about showing love. All of this is based in love. If you love God enough to share your testimony with somebody, you're sharing love of God with somebody else, because people need to hear this. People need to know that they're not alone in their struggle. They're not alone in their trials. That's why Paul could say that I count it all joy when I go through diverse temptations. Amen. Because the bonds of the love of God that constrains me. Amen. I'm going to finish up and let Pastor go on and do what he got to do. But I just wanted to add one.
Scriptures from me. He want those scriptures from me that we was reading on today. I know one was John 12 and 35.
Oh.
He was in 13 too.
John 12.
Yeah, we were
35.
All over the place.
John 12, 35.
Corinthians 13, the whole chapter. And also take a look at Romans the 12th and 13th chapters.
Amen.
And that's what
all
I was
right.
talking about.
Man of God. We're blessed to have you. I'm saying we don't like to cut any testimonies off, but we got a 90-minute show. We got Elder Carey Williams. We got some more people on the line. But I'm telling you, this young man, Anthony Stretic, I'm telling you, man, the guy, y'all heard his name.
Amen. It's rich.
I I felt him going through. We just people were praying, and it was rough. But I know the life he's got. I know where he was made. Let me tell you back.
Amen.
He was made. But God bless you, man of God. It was a pleasure for you being on the line. I want to get it back over to Alan Carter.
Carter.
And I want to get in Tyler back in here a minute, but I want to give it over to Elder Carey, but over there to Evangelist Alan Carter, who's just still with us. Evangelist Alan Carter?
Yes, sir. Man, I just sit up here. I'm just mesmerized listening at this young man's testimony. Very powerful. But, you know, I was listening while he was talking. Lord said he's going to heal him.
That's right.
You see, I'm going to tell you like this. It's power in prayer. And Lord said when he pray, let him have his way. Because he said what he do for one, he do for others. And the Lord had healed me. And I listened at my cousin when he said how he told the Lord to take that drinking from him and smoking them cigarettes, how the Lord did it. See, God don't have no respect of the person of who he heal. You see, who he bless. He's when I run the just as well as the unjust, and we are the just. Young man, just keep God in your life. Keep God first, and everything is already all right. Remember that.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to remember this. Psalms 35 says, weeping may do it for a night, but joy will come in the morning for you. Remember that. Okay,
right.
You're going to look
That's
to the
right.
hills from which come your help. Your help don't come from man. It don't come from woman. It don't come from boy or girl. But our Father, which is what? In heaven, who sit
Amen.
High and look low.
Amen.
And you
Amen.
See, I remember Psalms 37 and 25 said, well, what? I was once young, but now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Oh, my seed begging bread. And you his seed, he ain't going to see you begging bread. Mm. The same thing with you too, Tyler. And it's a blessing to hear from you because I haven't heard from you and seen you since we graduated in 81. To God be the glory. I thank God for each and every last one of you all on this prayer. And I even my cousin. I love you, Jerry. I love you, Pastor Ellis, Elder Carey, young man, Tyler. I love all y'all. To God be the glory.
We're going to get back to Jerry, but I want to let Tyler roll out, and then I'm going to get it back over to Elder Carey. So I'm going to get Tyler back in here. And we got a few minutes. Well, we got maybe 10 minutes to go online. And then I'm going to get back over to the man of God, Jerry, at 989-443. So we'll get Taylor back.
Yes.
Tyler, make sure I get that right. Taylor, 10 minutes. All right, Tyler, you back in.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to say that, I had a 13-year run on that crack cocaine. And no matter what I did, as far as try to deliver myself from it, it wasn't working.
Amen.
Somehow I came in contact with a lady who seemed to care more about me than I cared about myself. You know, once she found out that I was getting high, she didn't just leave me. Hallelujah. So that's why I know, that somehow God had a connection or something to do with it, because I didn't listen to nobody. I didn't want nobody telling me, quit smoking crack. Why don't you get you some help? This, that, and the other. You couldn't tell me nothing about no crack cocaine, but give me some of it. Yeah. And so she had went back to work and she set it up. You know, once she discovered I was, she just held on to me real tight. She said, listen, I love you too much to just leave you like this. Come on, how often do that happen?
Come on.
Hallelujah. And so she went back to work and got me enrolled in Dot Caring Centers. That was over in Saginaw, Michigan. Yeah, the old YMCA or whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I was supposed to have been there 90 days. Let me tell you what God did. I was supposed to be there. It's a 90-day program. And the woman was coming up down there from Muskegon here. And so she said, well, you know, those guys are trying to break into your apartment that she had got me. I said, you kidding? She said, no. I said, well, listen. I said, this Wednesday, come back and get me. She said, are you kidding me? You haven't even been there 2 weeks yet. I said, listen, are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, come pick me up Wednesday. Yeah, come pick me up. Well, what are you going to do? Listen, there ain't anything in this program. Let me tell you this, lady. There's nothing in this program that these people can tell me that I don't already know. I said, but now it becomes in your heart and in your mind whether you're going to quit this drug or not.
Uh-huh.
And so I had already made up in my mind. And I had, see, this is what she didn't know. You set up the appointment to get me in rehab, but you didn't know that I called on the name of Jesus to be delivered. Yeah, deliver me, oh God, from this dreadful crack addiction. Deliver me, your servant, oh God, your son, oh God. Yeah, I went to crying out. Yeah, see, sometimes we have to quit being pretty. We got to cry out to God. We're going to have to cry out to God sooner or later. Yes, sir. You know, see, God, yeah, he's sick of people running around here thinking they can do this thing called life by themselves. God is looking for people in this day and time who's going to stand up and say, I need you, oh God. Yeah, come into my life, oh God. You see, because you can do more with it than I can, oh God. And I want you to clean me from inside out, oh God. Yeah, let's start there. Work on that heart, oh God, that what you so much care about. Fix my heart, oh God. And if you find anything in it that doesn't connect and line up with your word, take it out, oh God. And then strengthen me after the fact, oh God. Yeah. And keep me walking, order my steps in your word, oh God. Yeah, so, yeah, I cried out to him, and he delivered me.
Amen. Amen.
He delivered me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You're going to
tell
me. That's a powerful I'm telling you, this testimony Tuesday night is probably one of the greatest and never the number one. But I want you guys to hang on before we all get ready to pray and pray out. I want to bring back in Jerry at 989-443, and I want to hear what Jerry has to say and what he's been hearing now so far since God delivered him on an overnight situation for 26 years. Jerry, you right back in there with us,
989-443. Oh, yes, I'm back. Yes, I'm back. To all the pastors and the evangelists and to all the brothers and sisters that's been hearing this testimony, this has been one glorious night that God has set upon us. To hear and the vision, to listen, and to be able to hear other people's testimony, because other people's my testimony, your testimony, is a blessing to someone else. I sit back and I listen. You know, sometimes we think that we have a problem or we're going through something, but there's always someone that's going through something worse than you is.
Amen.
A blessing.
Amen.
For a person to testify. But you know, the God that we serve, he sits high and he looks low. And God, he knows what you need,
Yes, he does.
All he do, he sits there with arms stretched open wide, and all he's asking is for you to repent. And if you repent, he will give you the desire of your heart. He will forgive you for a lot of things that you have done. You know, I look back over my life, and I see where God had brought me from a mighty long way, because if it had not been for him, I would not be here today. You know, and God is just so, he's just so wonderful. You know, we just need to praise his name all day long. And I think my little cousin, Alan Carter, or Evangelist Carter, for calling me and having me to call in to the program.
Amen.
Because it had a real inspiring messages and testimony that I really enjoy. And I'm looking forward to calling back next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And I just want to say that God had a blessing and may his light shine on everyone, because this has surely been a blessed night.
Amen. Yeah, about 10 minutes. We thank you, man of God, Jerry. We really do. You really was a blessing to us tonight, and we thank you. And look, come back. Tell your friends about it. You know, get them on board.
Amen.
You know? And we were doing some great things here. And
I'm trying to get some on board.
We're going to put it back in the hands of Elder Carey. Let him have the words we have to say for the evening. And we thank every one of the guests for being on this line tonight and giving this great testimony. I'm telling you, it wasn't one superior over the other, but it all helped us to move forward in our lives to know that God is still able, not a respectful God. Elder Carey, go ahead. We got about 10
minutes. Amen, amen. Okay, amen. I'm so grateful and encouraged for these men and women of God and these testimonies tonight. Reminds me of a couple of different things I can remember. The greatest thing, one of the greatest things that I read that I had, that I applied in my own life, David said in 51st Psalms after Nathan confronted him for his sin, he said, pray to God and said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, and it goes right along with the formula. You know, until we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, then we shall be saved. And that's what this is all about. I don't care what's going on, where you've been, what you've done. Trust me, I have a portion in every last testimony tonight that I heard. Brother Tyler, you preach tonight, brother. You know, I've been there with the crack. I done been in and out of the hospital. I still go through things in my body right now. But at the end of the day, I look to Jesus.
Amen.
Because were it not for him, I'm still here. And that's what we want to do. We want to encourage each and everybody that's on this line. Each one, reach one, somebody. Get people to call in and involve, man, because we are charged. We are earthen vessels housed with the love and the Spirit of God, and we have a commission by God to spread. The Bible says that men shall know that we love God and we serve God because of the Holy Ghost that has shed abroad in our hearts. And the only way we can operate is between the love of God and the Holy Ghost. And so that's why these testimonies are so important. But we want to pray our way out of here tonight because God, the Bible says that God, first of all, he inhabits the praises of his people. And over in Psalms, the Bible says that his ear is toward the plea of the righteous. So that's what we're about. And again, I thank God for every last one of you tonight. And we're not going to prolong the time. With that being said, Pastor Ellis, if you got anything else to add, we can go ahead and pray and wrap it up.
Go ahead, man of God. We just want to thank you guys for joining us here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios on behalf of the Elder Carey Williams Show and Testimony Tuesday. Look, don't forget to be with us if you want to hear another powerful word from this inspiring crew, along with me and Elder Carey and the guests we have coming at tonight, like Alan Carter. Come on us on Thursday night. We got a Thursday night show. Man. Stay tuned. Some of our episodes, you can go to actually harvestlightchurch.com or you can go to social network, push me in, get one of us to be your friends, and we will keep you informed of these shows that's come across here at Harvest Light Church. Until then, look, we bless you, and as this man of God lead us out, y'all be blessed, and I love every last one of you guys. Elder Carey?
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you tonight for your word, God. We thank you for your presence, oh God, and we ask tonight as we leave this place, but certainly not from your divine presence, oh God, that you would bless, strengthen, and encourage each and every one of these saints, these hearts, Lord. Bring us back to the appointed place at the appointed time without hurt, harm, or danger to any loved one. These and all of the blessings we thank you for in your Son Jesus' name we do pray. Thank God and amen. Be blessed and have a good night, y'all.
Yeah.
Church like this. But you've got to learn this, how to celebrate the sacrifice of the cross. Because if it wasn't for the cross, every man, woman, boy, and girl would be in a devil's hell. But thank God, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with every one of his stripes, I gotta go, because we're getting ready for the second half. But I want you to know that if you don't remember anything else that's said in here tonight, it is the cross of Calvary that gives us access to eternal life. It was a bloody cross. It was a wooden cross. It was a cross of suffering. It was a gory cross. You don't understand what happened. They beat him all night long. Yes, they did. And they ripped his body to shreds. And he didn't say a word. But he purchased our salvation. I want you to understand that it is by his sacrifice that salvation has been extended unto man. Don't you take it lightly. This isn't just a bunch of fanatical people jumping around and mumbling in another unknown. Some blood washed, Holy Ghost